find out in a minute.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Tonight that you would be able to be affiliated with the study. We would have a conversation tonight. We're going to bring forth a guest, and I'm sure that they will arrive in time so they can share some good news with you. The Word of God said this is the day that the Lord God has made. He tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. And I'm glad right now. I trust that you are as well. So we want to make sure that in our dialogue, we want to make you aware of how important it is to at least extend some information out there to you, the listening audience. And for those who would like to have a comment, question concerning what we're about to bring about in this segment. Again, we want to thank God for Pastor Ruby Doctrine and have him and his wife in their travel, that everything is already placed decently and in order for them. But the Word of God is something that I like to extend to you so we can have anyone to call in and to be able to understand that you don't have to have a relationship with God from the start. And as I would say, personally, I didn't have a relationship with him once upon a time. But now that I do, I don't want to be ashamed of what he has shared with me and what he has taught me according to his word. I was out in the world. Yes.
We got two callers.
Got two callers? Okay. Well, let's see the first caller that we have. Glory to God. And the first caller that we have, caller, what is your name? And tell us where you're calling from. And I just trust that we would be able to have dialogue through the process. But we have two callers, so I'd like to find out who they are. And then we would find out what's on their heart. First caller, would you tell us who you are? again, what is your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Jerry Lynn Collier, and I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, Jerry Lynn, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. We will be sharing some information here. Just sit in with us momentarily while we bring forth the dialogue and have something on the table to talk about, and you'll have a chance to talk to us about what's going on in your life as well. And the second caller,
okay,
I'd like to find out who you are. Glory to God.
My name is Regina Brazil Harris, and I'm from Augusta, Georgia. I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. Yeah, Sister Regina, I asked her to call in and have her to sit in tonight on the panel. She has been a very inspiring supporter of the ministry. And so we thank you for calling in as well, Sister. Let me go ahead and put the word of God that I was going to share with you ladies right now, according to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And I notice it states very clear in verse 28, it says, "For we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose." Now, I thought about that. I didn't say for those who heard about God. It's for those who actually know. There's a difference. I take, you know, not for granted. I remember when I didn't know him, so I like to just extend to those who do know him that it's all right to admit that you know him, especially if once upon a time you can admit that you didn't know him, and that was me. So again, we will be heading down that particular avenue saying that we know that all things work together for the good now, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. That means you have to have a love for God. You have to be called according to his purpose. And that doesn't mean in the pulpit. That just means that you have a love for God and you know that whatever's going on in your life, that all things are going to work together for the good. Always remember, it's for the good. So we're going to ask, if you will, Sister Regina, I remember asking you, if you will, to sit in and to kind of share with the viewers, but the people who are listening, the listening audience, so they would be able to understand what it is to be faithful and how you had to deal with things in your life. Why don't you share some with us tonight concerning that scripture and how it can fit into your life? And then, Sister Jerry, we're going to come back and ask you a question or two, and if you have comments, either one. So we're going to go with you tonight, Sister Regina, because I asked you to sit in with us on the panel, have you for a guest. It's been a long time, but I know you're very, very deserving of it, you know. So why don't you share some things with us concerning we know that all things work together. What do you have to say about that?
What I have to say about that is, Pastor, you're absolutely right. All things do work together for the good of those that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. And I can speak on that because sometimes we think we are in such total relationship with God because we have learned how to act like what we have seen, what we consider Christians or what we consider people to be. And so God sometimes has to take things and let you see him in his fullness and in his glory. And when Pastor asked me about all things working for the good, I went through a very trying time. And a lot of people say you went through a Job-like experience or whatever you want to say. In 2014, God was constantly speaking to me about basically doing his will. And I thought I was doing his will because, you know, I'm a tithe payer and I'm a giver and I love people and I try not to hurt nobody. But those are the superficial things that people see. But God wants to understand if you are obedient and will you listen to that still small voice, because there is not a day a minute or a second in anybody's life that God is not speaking. And what God did is he shut everything down. And Pastor walked this walk with me. I lived probably about 9 months in my house, and it was in foreclosure. And it was two or three times that it went in the paper, and they had to draw it back. I didn't have any light. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any water. I didn't have any heat. And this was in the dead of winter. But what I tell the listening audience, I had a close relationship with my father. There was many, many nights that I would cry and not understand, why, Lord, are you doing this or whatever? But the Lord wasn't doing anything to me. It was what he was doing for me, because I had learned to trust in people and in things and in stuff and in the work of my own hands. I remember I was sitting, and I used to have to go to the well. We have this little running well here in Augusta, and that's where I would go get my water. Every other day, I would fill up these 5-gallon jugs. I would have to go get my water. Well, at one time, I asked a pastor and his wife, would they come by and get me so they could take me? And as the evening got later and later and later, and I get a call from them, and they tell me they're not coming. Well, first and foremost, I didn't tell them I wanted water. And I was sitting on the couch, and I was crying, and I was very, very angry, because I was like, all that I do for everybody and all I this and that. And all of a sudden, a still small voice spoke to me and said, there you are, still trusting in man, still want man to do something for you. You haven't even asked me to provide water for you. And when he said that, it just burst into a rain. I'm talking about it rained so hard. And that boy said, now go outside and fill up everything you need to fill up, because I am your provider. I am your ultimate. So that right there, during that time of whatever, when people say despair or Job, like, he was teaching me to trust him in everything. I tried to talk with the woman that was holding the account for my house. I called that woman, and I called that woman, and I called that woman. She never, ever would talk to me. The day that they was to put my house in the paper for the first time, she called me. Mind you, listening audience, I didn't have a job. She called me and she asked me, what is your intention? I said, I would like to keep my house. She said, I'm going to send you some paperwork. Fill it out. If you fill this paperwork out, we have to pull your house out of foreclosure. Now, mind you, this paperwork I had to fill out was about having income and all of that. I had none. They had to pull my house back out of foreclosure. So God bought me some more time to be obedient. He was speaking to me daily. There's a whole lot of times I did not do what he said, and things would go awry. When I did what he said, everything went just like he said. But there was not one time that I compromised my body. There was not one time that I compromised the word of God. And when the pastor say all things work for the good of those that love the Lord, August 2015, God blessed me with every dime that I needed to get my house out of foreclosure. You can't tell me now what God won't do. See, that's the good that came out of it, because I am sold out. I am solid. And I don't stand on nothing but the word of God. In the midst of everybody telling me, maybe God's trying to take your house because he can give you a better one. My question used to be, why he going to take this one and I ain't asked for another one? I asked for this one. God ain't no Indian giver. But people don't want to believe that. We want to say all of these kind of things. Well, I guess God didn't say so. God's word is true. And it will not give away. Not one inch of his word will ever ever give away. But we got to stand on it. Not because we hear this or we see that. We got to stand on it. Being Christ-like is a life, not a lifestyle.
Amen.
It's a life. It's your full life. And all you can do is hold on to every promise, because every promise has been fulfilled. The reason why they ain't fulfilled, because our lustful desires. It ain't because the promises ain't fulfilled. It's because the lust of the eye want things that we think make us blessed. What make us blessed is knowing that God is everything. He is in all things, and he has done all things, and he has done them to perfection.
Well, I tell you, I want you to know I'm just in awe about that, because it gave me a chance to recall. So, Sister Regina, stay right there with that thought. I want to ask you a question or two concerning that now, because I do remember walking through with you here in Nashville and talking with you from time to time and how you was able to endure the hardship. But my question to you is that, did all that take place because you was going to church? Or did you just have that relationship with God? Because, see, people go to church one day, but what about all those other days that you have to be bound up in that house, like you had to be there and to go without some of the things that you named? And I can see the power of knowing God. And even some other things that you were doing, you was faithful at. If you will, touch on that a little bit, because you know how you were still going into the ministry, you know, because this ministry that I have in New Way Outreach Ministry, you was a faithful tither in that ministry. And there were times when I would say to you, don't you know it'd probably be better for you to keep that that seed that you're sowing into the ministry? And what was your response to that? And how did you continue to do what you was doing and knowing that you was going without things like that? Well, share that with the audience on how and what caused you to continue to stand on God's word when you know that you was being attacked and things like that, and you still remain faithful. Talk to us about that. Let me hear you share something.
Okay. First and foremost, what I went through, I'm not going to say. I want to say it right so people can understand. It was not God's fault. So why am I going to penalize God with my tithes and offerings? Because I was going through some what you call light afflictions. Number two, all that y'all have heard me say I didn't have, ain't one time y'all heard me say I went hungry. Because God said, David said in Psalms, I was young, but I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't hungry for two things. I wasn't hungry for the spiritual word, because in those midnight hours is when I talked to him. In those days when it was light outside, like he told me, let me tell you what he told me. I was standing in the, first and foremost, let me say this. The night before they turned my lights off in this house, God showed me that they were going to come and turn my lights off. But he showed me them turning my lights off and them turning them right back on. He told me that, and he told me, this is where I'm talking about being obedient to his word. They're going to turn your lights off, but when the guy comes, I want you to ask him to come in and pray for you. Now, God knew this man couldn't come in and pray for me because his policy. He just wanted to see if I was going to be obedient enough to ask the man to do it, or was I going to be in fear. I asked the man to do it. He told me, I can't come in, ma'am, but I will pray for you. I went in the house, and I was standing. I got a picture window in front of my house. I was standing in my house, and I said, God, I just can't believe they turned my lights off. God said, no, they turned the electricity to this house off. The sun is your light. You got 12 hours to do anything you need to do, because when night comes, you need to lay down and rest. But just before the dust of dawn, I want you to walk with me, and I want to be able to minister to you. Let me show you how disobedience will keep you in your stuff until you understand. I walked 2 weeks. That's all. God asked me to walk with him every day. Who's to say if I wouldn't have walked with God every day, I wouldn't have come out of that? See, I was like the children going around the bush. I wasn't listening. I didn't realize what God wanted me to do. But every time God blessed me with any kind of income, I don't care what it was, I paid my tithes and my offerings, because that had a promise to it. That has a promise to it. Why I'm going to stop? Because I'm waiting on the promises. They already here. I'm just waiting for them to manifest. So no, I was not going to stop taking care of the word of God. No, I was not going to stop taking care of the ministry that God told me to sow into. I don't sow in New Way Outreach Ministry because it's so wonderful, because it's this. It's because it was commissioned to me to sow into that ministry. And that was back in 2003. Right after my brother passed, that God spoke to me and told me to sow into that ministry, because that ministry is a ministry that goes out to and into the byways and the highways and goes where the sick and the hurting are. Because, see, it's people setting up in church hurting, but they setting up in church hurting looking like they ain't hurting and they don't want nobody telling them. But God said, go ye therefore. So since this pastor goes out into the streets and at 10 and 11 and 12 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, I can pick up my phone and call him. I ain't got to call one of the brothers of the house. I ain't got to call or the pastor sleep. He is a servant, and he has been there. It's a many nights I called him crying, didn't know which way to turn. I had prayed all I could pray, and all I could do was call the man of God and ask him, pray with me, please, not help me pay my bills, not give me some money, but pray with me. And that's just what he would do. And yes, it worked for the good, because like I said, I ain't ashamed of my testimony. I'll tell the world. I know what he will do. I know what he can do. There is things that have happened in my life that I can say, just like in the Bible, I have laid in the arms of Jesus. I have been rocked asleep by my Heavenly Father. God has turned things around at the 11.59.99 hour. He has been the God that he said he would be. So, yes, all things work for the good of them that love the Lord. And it is not because you are attending a building. It's because he says, study to show yourself approved, a good workman, rightly divide the word of truth. So whether you are in a church or out of a church, if you are in your word, you are in God's will. And that is what he is asking everybody to do. Have a personal, soul out, transparent relationship with him.
My goodness, awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you called it a light affliction. I mean, that got me when you said that was a light affliction, all that he was going through, and it was in the wintertime. So and that's an awesome testimony, and I thank God for you, Sister Regina. We will come back in just a minute and continue this conversation, and if there's anyone who's listening that may want to call in, we desire you to call in to talk straight. The number is 657-383-0944. We have Sister Jerry on the line as well, and we want to ask you, Sister, to come in. You heard what she was saying, and you heard her testimony, and I know you as well, and I thank God for you sitting in, being patient with us. We will have a little song that will come in approximately maybe 6 minutes, but for now, we're going to just welcome you in and ask you to talk to us about what you think about the word of God and what it says about. We know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I know you have something to share with us, Sister. You know, talk to us about that, about what God is doing in your life.
Oh, well, Pastor, I'm just going to say that God is, he's awesome. He's a very awesome God. He's everybody's friend, and everyone needs to get their own personal one-on-one with him, I mean, you can go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, be a Bible study or Sunday school, but if you don't have that one-on-one with him, with, you know, that, that's Mary's baby. And if you don't have that personal one-on-one with him, it's not going to, you know, he's going to cover you, but he's not going to, he's carrying you anyways, but if you don't have that personal one-on-one, you know, he's going to kind of let you drag a little bit until you realize, you know, until you realize, hey, you know, I need to get stronger in his word. I need to get stronger in his will. I need to let him just put his arms all over me, because all my life, I know that man has covered me, and he's still covering me. You know, it's not because I've been good. It's not just because I go to church and I pay my tithes. I've been knowing the Lord since I was a child. You know, when I was a little girl, you know, I'm the baby of six girls, and I was the only one. My mom was working all the time on Sundays, and I'm like, Mama, can I go to church with Miss Jones up the street? Mama, can I go? And she's like, well, I need to meet these people, you know. I'm going to church. I'm a little girl. And, you know, and piggyback on some things, as though what she said, you know, you always been a caring, giving person. You know, it's not that you go and you give Christmas baskets. It's not that you loan all your money out to try to help people. You still have to know your one-on-one. You know, you have to know what your purpose and his will for you is. And you have to get on it face to the flow prayer. You know, you have to do the intercessory prayers. And, you know, as well as I would pray for, you know, I had to learn the church that I'm in. All my life I prayed for everybody else. And I still will. But I never just honestly prayed for me. And I have to pray for me to be well and healthy as well, so I can pray for everybody else. But I want to piggyback on some things like what she was saying. You know, I haven't been through that process of losing a house. Well, I did lose a house back in the days, but I actually just let it go because I said it wasn't my time. Because my goal is to get my house personally built the way I want it. And, you know, everybody has a season. And I've been in his word, and I've got closer and closer to him. I've sat down. I've did my cries. You know, I've lost my son. I basically can say, you know, because I have another daughter that's in a mental institution. I'm raising her kids, you know. And, you know, you cry. And you say, God, what is it? What did I do? What did I not do? What do I need to do? You know, and you still continue on and pray and you try to do and you help people. And then you finally say, okay, well, God, what is it? And, you know, and this past June, I found myself, you know, just sitting in a basement. I'm screaming and hollering. I'm washing up my clothes. I'm ready to just run off, just leave everything. Then I finally just I sat down, and I was like, okay, God. He was like, he just slapped me upside my head. You know, I found myself through the last few years, you know, just pushing off of people, pushing away from people that I'm trying to hold on because, hey, that's my cousin, that's my sister, that's my best friend. But God said, I'm trying to get these people out of your way because that's been the hindrance to you. You can't really hear my word and get what you are due until I finally let you see that these people need to get, you know. And because I didn't know what I was going through, and I realized he was breaking me down to rebuild me. You know, you know, you got to renew the mind, get out of this world. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of people just so worldly, but you know, I did realize that whereas he was taking people slowly out of my life, he was sending other people that was meant to be in my life. You know, and everything as far as me going to school, everywhere, everything that I'm doing in my life is consistent in a church. Everything is church. I go to school, two different schools, but they're all in a church. I belong to a church, been there 20 years. Everything I do is in a church. So I say, God is telling me something, you know.
It's personal. Not cutting you off. I want you to come back and talk to us in just a minute. I'm going to play a song. It's going to come up in about maybe less than 60 seconds. But I'm thinking about what Sister Regina was saying about the light affliction and what you were talking about, Sister Gary, And we're going to tap back into that again and let you finish sharing with us after we render this song to the people, all right? Hold tight.
Okay.
And when we come back after the song, we're going to finish. All right. Praise God.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
All right. Change, and then he says we got to be strong because some things we can't change. And then he shared with us some of the things that's going on. There's not enough time to tell it all, but he named some things about what's going on with the people being locked up, innocent people being locked up, and the reason why they're being locked up because most of them are being controlled by something that they shouldn't be locked up. And then he say even the doctors are dealing in drugs and things like that, which you would look at the news and you look back over it and you would find out that to be true. But the time has come where we must stand on the word of God. And I thank God for Sister Regina and Sister Jerry who have sat in with us, who are sharing with us. And we'd like to ask any of you that's listening, audience, to call in if you like, and to, if you have comments or questions concerning it, about the scripture that we brought forth, realizing that for all things work together for the good, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Listen to the order of that. You know, it says it worked together. And that means that no matter where you are, if you have that relationship with him, and you don't have to know the Bible. And I heard Sister Regina earlier say about study to show thyself approved. In other words, faith cometh by hearing. And a lot of times, mm-hmm. the person don't have a book to study. You just make sure you know how to hear. He said, let those that have ears to hear, let them hear. So, Sister Jerry, before we get into asking your question right here, I want to share something according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And it talks about the word of God says, gird up the loins of your mind. And it's reminding us to be sober. And the things like that, see, when you gird up, that means you got to be ready for action. You got to be ready for a change. When change is available, you got to, you know, in church, see, they got them robes on, a lot of them. And it looks good in them robes. I'm sure they do. But it's time mm-hmm. to tuck in them robes. See, when you tuck in them robes, that means that you're ready for action. You see, because if you're up there with that swing and roll on, and then the enemy is attacking you, and all you got is a robe on that looks good. But when you got the power, you know, then that means that you're ready for action, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. That's
when you
gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind, not your robe, but your mind. And it's, mm-hmm. and it's telling us to be sober. You know, that means you got to be alert. Because when
that's
the enemy comes, that's a serious deed. You say be sober means to be self-controlled, you know. And I like that because if we're not self-controlled, we won't be able to handle, at least I wasn't able to handle the enemy because I was, like, all over the place in my mind. And I'm glad that he was able to regulate my mind. And so now I have girded up the loins of my mind, and I'm ready for action. And I know you sisters are talking some real good positive things about what you've been dealing with. So, Sister Jerry, come on back in and talk to us about what you was dealing with and how you was bringing forth how God is working in your life right now.
You know, okay, you know, I've been through, like I said, I'm not finna just go through my whole life from a child up. You know, and like you said, Pastor, you know me from a little girl. We just really didn't know each other, but I knew of you, you knew of me. And
that's right.
I have just went through some things, and, you know, I was the type of child, I went in my closet and I hid up under the clothes, and I cried and I cried. And all at the same time, you know, as a little girl, I'm asking God, what's going on? I could have fell out in the life of just things, you know. I could have followed. I could have been peer pressure, but I always knew that hey, there was another way to do things. And like I said, I started church, you know, at the age of 6-7 years old. I want to go to church, you know. Where are these people going every morning, every Sunday morning and stuff, and dressed all up, and I'm asking questions. So hey, I've been through a lot of church doors. I've only joined three, but from a little girl, I've been through a lot of church doors. I'm getting the word of God. I've gotten the word of God, and I know I don't care what denomination, what Christianity, whatever you claim to be, there's only one God. And if you do not have your mind steadfast on him to believe, to trust, the faith, that's the key word, the trust, the faith, that everything's going to be all right. You know, you're going to be lost. If you can't renew your mind, if you cannot build that faith up, you know, small as a mustard seed, you're going to be lost. But he don't give up on you, but he will let you knock your head against that wall for you to wake up, you know. And so when I I had to, you know, actually admit my daughter into a mental institution. Then a year and a half later, I lost my son. Oh, God.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I went through I don't know how many phases. You know, I went through phases, and I just actually went through phases, and I never understood. I thought I went through some phases when I lost my mom and my daddy right back to back, but to do what I went through with my kids, God knows, everything that people claim I've done, people thought that I wanted to do, whatever, all of that ran through my mind. Well, okay, God, okay, I might as well, you know, but I kept my faith. Okay. I stayed in church, and I think if I hadn't been a church-going person, didn't know about God, I would have lost my mind. You know,
right.
I really would have lost my mind, but I said no. I've never been a follower, and I never let anyone talk me into doing anything, and I'm not going to go run with that crowd because it's right now I'm so vulnerable, you know. I'm so vulnerable.
Yeah.
So I stayed in church. You know, I stayed in church, and it's been 6 years. It has really been 6 years, and I was, you know, I stayed sick. I was in the hospital and everything. But now, last year's first year out of 6 years, I have not been hospitalized. Thank you, Jesus. I came in 2018 without being hospitalized in 2017, and I'm looking for a big and brighter year. And things will, you know, like, you know, I'm just going to talk about taking care of helping people. That's always been my heart. I've always been a giving person. That was a child. When I was a little girl, I mean, mama threatened to whoop my butt because I'm taking out her blankets and giving them to, she didn't know what, when she found out. She didn't know. She was just asking, what happened to the bedspread that I bought? And we barely had anything ourselves. But I'm thinking about these people that I, you know, I'm like, you stay on the streets, you know, you living in them bushes, you know. So I'm going to my mama's closet, taking out her bedspreads and pillows and giving them something they can wrap up in, you know, from a little girl. And I know when mom find out, she going to whip my butt. But when I broke down and finally told her, she was like, that's all I wanted you to do was tell me. Because I knew it was you, because I know my children. She said, I know my children. You know, and yes, so... Huh?
Yeah, that was a person that was walking in the presence of God.
Right.
You know,
so that's just been a thing that I do, you know, a thing that I do. And it's like, you know, the homeless, I do everything for people. And I'm not saying I'm not no just, hey, you know, you can't get some speck of dirt off of me because I'm just not that squeaky clean. But I'm just saying being – having your faith and keeping in God's will with ever, however, and just know that he will come through. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. But, you know, I just can't.
That's what we talk about. I'm not cutting you off. I'm not cutting you off. I just want to share this with you. That's why we talk about all things work together, you know, for the good. That means that if you're in relationship with God, and no matter what's going on, if you're in a daily walk, and that's the thing that I think you and Sister Regina are talking about, and I wanted to kind of put this out there to the listening audience as well, because you got to be ready for a change, you know, when things take place. You know, the reason why he says gird up the loins of your mind, that's because a lot of people's minds are doing some things that, you know how they used to say, your mind are playing tricks on you. And, you know, you may think that is just a cliche, but once the enemy knows that you're not steadfast, and then your mind will play tricks on you. But once you get with the mind regulator, you know, and the heart fixer, because that's what he is, and that's in the Bible, though. You know, it doesn't exactly say it like that. I'm paraphrasing it. I would paraphrase and say it in the book of Romans. It talks about it in the 12th chapter in verse number 1 and 2. You know, it gave us some information right there. And so he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, you see. And see, once you present your body, that means that you're saying, Lord, I'm ready for a change. And then he dropped down in this, and he says, and be not conformed to this world, but but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you got your mind renewed, that means you can't think the same way. And that's the reason why all things will work together for the good once you are ready for a change. Change may not come as fast as you want it to, and it may come speedily. But either way, you have to be ready. That's why he says, gird up the loins. You know, in other words, be sober. See, to be sober, that means that you can do a lot of things a lot better when you are sober. Let me ask Sister Regina, if you will. So far, you and Sister Jerry are givers. I can tell that right now. And the Bible says that when you're talking about being a giver, God bless a person who have a heart to give. Let me explain to you why. He said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, that's in the Word now. So, Sister Regina, elaborate on that a little bit, because you are a giver, and I know that personally. You named, you said back in 2003 when your brother passed, your brother and I went to school together, and you didn't even know me. I didn't know you. And I was working at this clothing store, if you will, and it just gave me a chance to recall. I just wanted to kind of elaborate on that. Sister Jerry, give me a moment. You may even know her brother, Charles Harris. You know, he stayed in Nashville as well. And I'm working over at Burt's Men's store, and I had a chance to meet this sister. She walked in there, and tell us a little something about that, Sister Regina, on how the Spirit of God is really moving in your life. Talk to us about it.
Well, what it was is what he's speaking of, and this is another situation where all things work for the good. Like he said, my brother passed in 2002. And I went in the Burt's Men store to buy my other brother a suit for the funeral. And Pastor Waller, as I call him now, didn't know him at all. He ended up being my salesperson. And so when I paid for the suit and me and my brother was going out, I turned back around. And Pastor Waller had went to the back, and I walked to the back, and he was coming out from the back. And I put my hand on his chest, and I said, "Look, that suit I just bought that man right there, that's right. For my brother's funeral. Don't let him bring that suit back in his store, because ain't no bringing back, getting no money back." And he just looked at me, and he said, "Okay." And I walked out of the store. Well, my brother's funeral was the next day, and I'm standing up by the casket, and in walks the salesperson from Burt's. And I'm looking at him like, "Okay, why are you here?" And he commenced to telling me that he went to school with my brother, and he knew my brother, and he saw this look on my face. And he asked me, in a sense, what was wrong or whatever. And I just told him I was concerned about my brother's salvation, and I was concerned. And he told me a story about when my brother got his car, got something, and when he changed his life, when Pastor Waller changed his life. Because, as you say, you know him from a child, so you know the life that he had. Then my brother came to the store to tell him to keep doing what he was doing, that he had changed his life. And he gave me the scripture. And he may not remember. He said he gave me the scripture. God, you're converted, how does it go, Pastor? You draw all men unto me.
You say, "I would draw all men unto me." Now, I know one of the things that you was talking about, how he will draw through others. You know, God be lifted up from the earth, I would draw all men unto me.
You gave me that scripture. You said, that's the scripture that he gave me standing right there, which assured me that my brother had a relationship, because he was like, he didn't come down there to show me the new car he got. He didn't come to do this. He came to tell me to keep doing what I was doing, and he was really proud, you know, because he grew up with Pastor Waller in the game, knowing what Pastor Waller did. And he say, and you know, your brother worked all the time because he started working when he was 14 at Kentucky Fried Chicken, and then he was at the prison and things that. So that was another thing. But the good that came out of my brother's passing was the fellowship with me and Minister Waller. God blessed me with that man of God, because God knew I needed a man of God like Minister Waller to be in my life. And this man has walked me through a lot of stuff. And I say sometimes, I say, I know he be praying, saying, "Lord, now I wasn't that bad out in the streets, and you gave me this one." the help, this right here is a rough ride right here. Cause it's been time when Pastor Bobby be talking about, go get your Bible, Sister Regina. I be talking about, I ain't going to get no Bible. I don't want to get my Bible.
I remember that.
And he just keep on. So that's the good that has come out of that. All things, I don't care what the misery you feel, there's some good that's going to come out of it. And I hear you saying, you keep talking about your daughter, Sister Jerry. You keep talking about her. But let me tell you something. You speak to that demon, because that's a spirit that has taken over her. And you got to speak to that spirit, and you got to tell that spirit it has no place, because she is covered in the blood, and you just keep speaking it. You keep speaking that spirit out of her, and that spirit will leave her. That spirit is going to leave her. That is testimony. That is another testimony, and that's another good that's going to come out of you knowing what you know about the Word of God.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, that's all right there, Sister Jerry. Now, you think
thank
you. That?
Yeah, I speak it out. I speaks it out. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, I get down, I get sad, but I don't give up, you know.
That's right.
I do not give up. I mean, if I was going to give up, shoot, I'd have done that as a kid. But everything that came across me negative, I try to get the positive, make it good for me, you know. And I know that, well, this is what I feel. I know that, you know, when he took my son a year and a half later, and he knew that was going to break me down, and he thought that it was going to keep me down, you know, he thought it was going to keep me down. But no, my mind and heart, and I kept saying no, because there's still some good in this. I still got life. I still got other kids. I still got grandkids. I still have to, and I can't stay down here and let this devil keep stomping on me and thinking he's going to bring me down here with him. I can't do it. I didn't do it as a kid. I'm not going to do it as an adult, because I know who's the powerful one. You know, he's the one. And that's always where I went. You know, when I went in my closet, you know, and I got in church and got old, and they talk about get your little secret hiding place of praying stuff. And I didn't know that was what I was doing. I was just calling myself, hiding from people to be by myself in the closet. But I'm praying and I'm talking. You know, and as I grew older and realized that's what they say, you got to have a place where you go to pray. You have to have that place. And that was my spot, you know. And then it's just like, hey, by me praying in them closets and stuff, and I like to write poetry, things will come in mind, I write it down. I need to get back into it. I'm getting back to myself, because I'm writing again, but, you know, that's a part of healing. You know, I'm writing again, and I know I'm getting back there. So I just, anybody that's listening, just hold on. You know, you might want to, you might tell yourself, shoot, I'm not going to keep doing this. I'm not going to keep holding on to this for what, ain't nothing happening. Yeah, it's happening. You just want it to happen like in a snap of a finger, blink of an eye. No, it's happening, and it's going to happen for your good. Because nothing that happens can't take place unless God is in it. And God is in everywhere for him, say, for my life, you know. And, you know, these kids, how we losing our kids. And, see, I go to school for mentoring. Because I talk to kids. I work in a metro school, and I hear teachers and stuff talk so negative. No. You cannot do that, because that seed you plant, just be the one you grow. That's be the one. And you the teacher. Yeah, I've had them call in on me, and like I told them, hey, the only thing I can say is they the teacher. I ain't said nothing wrong. I didn't say disrespectful. I ain't talk crazy. I just let them know that that shouldn't keep happening. They the one you looking at, they looking up to. And if the one that's teaching going to put you down in the ground, what that kid going to learn? Yeah.
Man.
So, you know, that's how I pray God.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. That makes sense. Yeah,
I just pray God, you know, I'm seeking other employment, but I want to retire from Metro, but in the midst of it, God, send me where you want me to be, you know, because I don't like it. I can't, you know, I can't control other people, but I feel like I can't sit back and listen to you put this child down when you're supposed to be lifting them up, you know. And I'm going to say, I work in the cafeteria, I'm just a cafeteria worker. But I'm going to speak my piece. And like I tell them, hey, I don't mean no malice. I have no malice in my heart about it. But what I'm saying is what I feel. And this is what I'm going to tell you. You know, and like when they call me or come to the school, and I just tell them, well, okay, that's what I said. And what did I say wrong? What are they the one you should be talking to.
You just
need to get them up out of.
You know, for positive stuff, you know. They need to hear something positive. Because you're saying, you know, a lot of them are already down. They're doing a lot of things. They're caught up into words, and words are so powerful because the Word of God does say that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so they have learned a behavior, and they're speaking it, so they don't need to hear nobody beat them down because they're already down. You need to get some positive things. So I understand where you're coming from and what you were saying. And, you know, even in, and I say this, and I've always said this since I've learned a little something about the Word of God, you know, coming from no relationship with God to now that I have turned my life over to Him. So He shared with me, He taught me some word, and now that I know it, I shouldn't be ashamed of it. When it says here in Romans 8:38, you know, it says some very encouraging words right here. It says, I am convinced, I am persuaded that nothing can ever separate me from the love of God. See, once you get that divine connection with Him, and then you know that nothing can separate you from Him, that means this is an everyday life. See, we don't need to compromise with opportunities like what you said, Sister Jerry, when you seen and heard them talking down on the kids when they're already down. That was an opportunity right there to say, hold on, wait a minute, they need to hear something. You're a teacher. You need to get right there where they are, bring them up to where they need to be. And that's probably one of those fear tactics. You understand that the enemy could have been using on the teacher because of how the kids are growing up today and the tough time that they are having. But we must always be and persuaded that neither life or death, no angels, no principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come should be able to separate us from the love of God. That's when you have that ongoing relationship with Him, see? See, when you have that relationship that's ongoing, that means you know. And then the word know means that, you know, that's power in knowing. I may not see
you
it right
now.
You
know
that
you know.
Things go together for the good, you know, just because you have a love for God. And for them that are not mentioned, called according to His purpose. See, and everybody's not called to be in the pulpit. And that's why Sister Regina knows that I steps out, and Sister Jerry, you know, I steps out into the streets. And you know that I'm out there interceding on behalf of the community because they are hurting out there. And that's so the scripture is talking to me tonight as well. And I'm so glad that the viewers, for those that are listening, you can call in at still time. And we have to prepare for another song in just a moment. We have a break coming up in less than 3 minutes. And I know I get to talking and get excited at the thought of people changing, because when you look at a scripture like this and notice the power that it says, that we know that all things work together, that means that there's a generation that's waiting on change. And somebody has to be a good example to extend to them so they can hear testimonies like Sister Regina and Sister Jerry and things you all have shared, to let them know, say, hey, if that could take place in their life, then maybe I need to find out what I can do to get to know Him. And that's the beauty of change. You know, when He says all things can work together for the good. Man, picture me being caught up into the street life and being captured by the drug game and doing all the things that I was doing. All of that worked together for the good, you see, because God allowed me to love Him, and then He realized that He had a purpose for me. And then that purpose is part of His plans. I have to not be ashamed of the gospel. I have to stand firm, and that's not an easy thing to do when you're not used to it. So it takes some getting used to it. Like, okay, God, You have taught me now how to number my days, how to appreciate every day. And that's why, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to prepare for the song that's going to be rendered.
And
when He say this is
and
day,
Pastor,
go ahead.
Pastor, I'm going to have to get off here. I'm going to have to get off here. But I want to leave y'all with this, okay? Real quick.
Okay.
It says every problem, there's an opportunity to trust God.
Amen.
Y'all
amen.
Always remember.
Yeah,
and God bless y'all. every problem is an
opportunity to bless God. For that. Yeah, we love you, Sister Regina. Thank you for that information.
Love you too.
Thank you.
Bless.
Glory.
All right. God
yeah.
Bless you too. All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Stay with us. Right. Stay with us, Sister Jerry. Yeah. We're getting ready to go into the song, and we got a little bit more time, and I thank God will lead us on through this, and everything will work out. So the call is tonight. If you desire to call, just remember the number is 657-383-0944. Talk straight. Glory to God.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
My, that just gave me a chance to recall and to look back over my life. I don't know about you, for those that tune in, knowing that there's a message in music, And I can't help but to say that the Word of God lines up with that, according to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Could you imagine looking back and realizing that the message is that change is possible, it can be accomplished, it can be reached? And then it was talking about, we're going to talk about some of the things that's been going down. And that's what you have been talking about, Sister Jerry, and Sister Regina was talking about in your testimony, and you were saying the things that happened to the young people in school. You know, these things need to be talked about because there's a situation, you know, in our nation, and it's all about how can we be good examples on realizing that change is necessary. You know, when you look at the situation, you see people that are down, and all they need to hear sometimes is something positive that can lift them up.
And
you can say, "Hey, I remember when I was dealing with some things, so I just want to be able to give someone some encouraging words." And that song just kind of took me there when it says there's a message in our music, just like the Word of God. It should be a message in the Word of God. And if we are presenting the Word of God with power, because just reading the Word of God is not going to cut it. I mean, you can read it all day long in church, out of the church. But the main thing is that where is the power? Because the Word says, "Now unto him who is of power." So now if he's of power, then I like to have some of that power to help me, and then I can go and help somebody else. What do you think about that? Put together for the good, knowing that since you've gotten some help for yourself, then you can go and help somebody else. And that's compassion, I would say. Talk to us about that.
It's about sharing the love. So that's what the world unlocks. You know, back in our days, what happened? Did I?
I'm still hearing you, babe. I'm still hearing it. I know you were saying back in our days, back then.
Days of growing up, you know, they would say, "Hey, the word is bond," you know, and then it's respect, but the world should revolve around respect too. But love, nobody has that in their heart. It's all about, you know, get yours, get mine. I'm going to take yours. You know, you need to hide it. We need to instill that. We don't have that bond thing, you know, just respect me and I respect you, and keep it moving. If you need a piece of bread, I got it. I share it with you. We don't have that. Everybody is for themselves, and we need to, you know, need to love. Bring it back. Take it back. And see, that's you know, I'm one of those my deals, you know, Tyler Perry my deals. I'm one of those types. You know, I have people, my kids, children, my kids, friends, they grew up with. "Miss Jerry, you ain't changed yet. You'll go over and whoop that little boy. That little boy ain't even yours." I sure will. I talk to him first. And if he continues on, and I keep talking, I'm going to give him a little whooping, and I'm going to take him to his mama, and I'm going to explain to him, you know, because I'm not the one to sit back and just see you doing something wrong, and I know you're doing something wrong, about to do something wrong. And I like to say that I hope that I saved. This was back, what, in 98, 99 or so. I was living up in the, J.C. Projects over there east. And I'm on a bus stop. I'm headed to work, right? And I'm hearing some young guys. Well, one of the guys talking about he finna go shoot him. I know where he at, and I'm thinking he gonna give me my money, you know. And the other guy, he's saying, "Well, you know, for what? What you gonna shoot him for? You know, he just got out of jail." This what the other guy's telling him. He said, "Because I know he got the money. He had the money before he went in, so I'm listening. I'm listening." And I sit there and I let one bus pass up, and I'm like, "God is saying you need to open your mouth, you know." Because I sit there and I let the first bus pass. Then I opened my mouth and I said, "Well, I don't mean to be intruding or being nosy, but you're right here in front of me. I can't hear you, you know." So they turned around, and I said, "I don't know who you planning on going to kill, but for what?
I said, because when you kill him, you're killing his family and you're killing your family. I said, for the simple fact that their family going to lose him, you're going to be locked up. I said, that money that he owe you, you know, somebody else going to have it. So why would you want to go kill this person? You know,
that's
I said,
right.
It's senseless. I said, that's not for you to do. I said, please, whatever you do, don't do it. He, and, you know, the other friend was saying, I've been telling him that. I've been saying it to him. So long story short on that, the guy that was doing all the ran, he's going to kill. He hugged me. He said, yes, ma'am. He said, yes, ma'am. You right.
How about
he said, thank you. Thank you.
Pastor Waller.
And I
yes, sir.
I said,
Pastor
God.
Waller, we got a new caller calling in.
Okay, stand back. Caller, we thank God for you. Just give us just a moment. I appreciate your calling. Yeah, that's real deep, Jerry. I tell you that now. You know, you was able to intercede. And I can see the compassion I know coming from you because you are community-oriented. I mean, and you have a heart desire to recognize that when it's an opportunity, you let one bus pass by because the spirit wouldn't allow you to just get on that bus and know those kids was talking like that. And then you was able to step up and say, okay, let me say something. You see, that's power in words, especially positive, encouraging words like you brought forth. And we'll come back to that in just a second. Caller, we have a caller. Caller, where are you calling from and what is your name?
Pastor Waller, they've disconnected.
They're disconnected?
Oh,
okay,
wow.
Praise God. That's all right. Okay, amen. But we thank them for making a call. Maybe for some reason they was able to call back, and we would be expecting them. If they do, we'll give them a chance to talk. But I just thank God for them listening and for being able to make a call like they did. We just thank God for them again. And Sister Jerry, you was sharing something that was so needed, you know, is to have compassion upon the people, you know, and know that no matter what's going on, I mean, if you are a good example, the Bible speaks about that. And when I say that, I say that with a humble way to, I wouldn't tell no one to go out there and get in front of a gun. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if you are a good example and you seeing things like that take place and you can intercede and then don't, and then you hear about this taking place, someone get killed as a result of you sitting there and didn't say anything, I'm sure that would have been heavy on you. So
it would have been very heavy.
Yeah, so when they tell me to go home and tell your friends what I've done for you, how I've had compassion, well, that's what I had to do. I went out and shared with my friends and let them know what God had done for me. And that was, you know, important. No matter what they would do after I said it, at least I did obey the voice of God. And a lot of my friends have changed today. And so that's the way, you know, we have to think about others when we look back over our life and say that, hey, it's a message in the music. When are we going to make a change? Because change is powerful. You know, togetherness, you know, all things work together for the good. You know, things like that. So it's important. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I trust, again, that the caller, or if you tune in and you really have a heart desire, you have a comment or question, or just want to call in and just share something with us, you know, please do so. At some point, I believe that when the words say, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, there he would be in the midst. I believe at some point, somebody would realize that when you're reaching out, extend a hand to someone, and if they reject it, I mean, that's that person's priority. But if they open up and receive it, that's another thing. And you know, the Word of God also says, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. What he's saying is, I'm going to extend an invitation to you to come. And if you don't, you can't blame me. I have something that I'm going to share with you, but you got to reach out to receive it. And that's what I had to do for myself. I didn't know God, but he was able to reach me by extending the invitation. He didn't tell me to stop doing what I was doing. He just wanted me to come to him and trust him. And I learned how to do that. Didn't know how to do it from the start, but I learned how to do it. And I'm still doing all I can do to continue to trust in him. Glory to God. So, Sister Jerry, let me ask you this question. You know, because we grew up in the same area. We come up out in the West Nashville area. And you was talking about, you know, when you see someone at school that you work at the cafeteria and things like mm-hmm. that, in today's time, I mean, how vicious are the young people when it comes down to maybe a time for recess when they are in the cafeteria and they're talking the language that they have learned? How vicious is it? I mean, just does it seem like they're content in bondage? Because I know when you're in bondage and you don't know you're in bondage, you have a tendency to be content like I was. I didn't know I was in a trap. I didn't know I was in bondage. And so I was content with the smoking the herb and learning how to sniff drugs. And all of a sudden I'm slanging the drugs and not even knowing that I'm in a trap. And see, that's how the trap starts, just gradually, slowly. So the brother's talking in the lunchroom, in the cafeteria. What is your take on that? I mean, do you hear a lot of
them? Well, I'm going to just say the school that I'm in, you know, they got this eating the breakfast and lunch in the classroom. So they actually come through and get their food and they go on. But when they're coming through, I work at a school where they're kindergarten up to third grade. But when I hear them children coming through singing all of that rap, and even some of them might say the curse words. Some of them leave it out and I tell them, no, not through here. You don't. This is exactly what I do. I said, no. I said, I don't listen to that. I don't listen to that. I said, that's not what you need to listen to.
You said from kindergarten to third grade. Excuse me, I just want to ask you that question. From kindergarten to third grade, is that what you said? Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Carry on. Go ahead.
So, you know, they come through and they popping and they doing all this. And then I'm like, no. That's not how we do it. That's not what we do. I say, I don't like that type of music. And they look at me like, hey. See, I've been with Metro for 6 years, but this school that I'm at now, it's a different school. See, the other school where I first started at, I mean, but I'm let me go back to how they do, and I have to show them that that's not what you do. Do you go to church?
Okay.
And I asked them, and then some of them say yes, some of them say no. So I started singing a church song to them. So now the majority of them that are caught on, they don't caught on. And I tell them, if your mom don't take you to church, turn on Channel 15. You can hear plenty of good gospel music. You know, you can turn it on the radio station. And I tell them, now they come through and they're singing gospel songs. If they're not singing gospel songs, they're definitely not singing those other songs. Now, you can't let their kids, you have to teach them.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. So they're learning early. I'm glad we brought that up. And I'm just grateful that the Spirit of God moving, because I wanted to ask you a question because I didn't know what the grade was, you know. And now that you told me from kindergarten to the third grade, and then you said that they're doing that rap and some of them are doing the cursing. So what's happening is they're passing down the power of darkness to another generation that's capturing the mind at a very early age, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's it's in their innocence, they're saying and speaking those words without even knowing. And that's why we have to be mindful of that and prepare to do as you was able to do, is to confront them in a loving way. And now you say when they come back through there, at least in your presence, they're bringing forth a different song. Oh, they're not... what they were presenting before, you know, that means that they're respecting you, and I love that. We need more of that, you see, and that's showing a concern. You wasn't being, you know, vicious, mean to them in such a way. You just say, no, we're not going to have that. And guess what they did? They was able to respect what you said.
And
you
I said, thank you, God. I know the first school that I started at, the first school that I started at, first time stepping foot into, you know, a Metro employment place, you know, and I'm there. And there were two teachers that come to me, and they just hugged me, introduced themselves, and they hugged me, and they told me God sent me there. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay. And they was like, because these kids need some tender love and care, and we feel you can do that. You can get them there. And trust me, everybody wanted to know what they said to me, because they said those two teachers never really did nothing, didn't speak to nobody, didn't do anything. But they came Love to me and introduced themselves and gave me a hug and stuff and told me they wished me longevity and with this school and stuff because God sent me there. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And
All
yes,
right.
those
right.
kids did mm-hmm. need those kids did need some TLC because those at my first school they was off the chain. And see, like I said, I'm a mother. I'm a Tyler Perry mother. You know, I raised five babies. I got 12 grandkids, one great grandkid. So do you think I play? No. I'm gonna be firm but fair. So
and I
changed. I taught them. Like the little ones that didn't know how to tie their shoes, I was getting fussed at, but my supervisor said, we're not sitting here to teach them how to tie their shoes. And I'm telling her, I'm not here just to serve no food. I'm here to teach them as well. You know, I'm not going to come through here and just see these kids fighting and cussing each other out and just stand there and watch. I can't do it. You know, I cannot do it. And
that's good.
So, but the thing when she found out that the kids were showing me, you know, they were letting all the other students jump them so they could be last in line so they could show me that they could tie their shoes, she said nothing else to me. No more. She was on the out of town, threatening to write me up, threatening to this. And I told her, we'll do it because I'm not here just to serve no food. I actually was able to get a little girl to start talking about what was going on with her because my granddaughter was molested as a child, okay? So I see all the time. So, and when this little girl finally, this one day after 3 months of being there, after they left out of the classroom, the teacher brought her back and said, she just crying and crying and said, she don't want to talk to nobody but you. She said, I don't know what happened, but could you please talk to her? So I took her in the back, in the office, you know, in our office in the cafeteria, and she just hugged me and hugged me, and then she started just telling me what was going on. I felt it. This little girl, she's a
third grader.
She had no reason to be as sad as she was. No reason.
I thank God for that because you had to go to her with a sweet spirit, you know, and because that's the way you carry yourself, and I can see how it subtle, very subtle spirit, you know, reaching out, you know, to a kid and bringing them into the knowledge of a child and showing the child that someone really care. And that is something, you know, that the person told you, say, the kid don't want to see anybody but you because she's in a rage right now. Nobody could, you know, get her to stop or get him to whoever it was. So I like that. You know, the way you went about it. And that's another thing we need more of, concern adults, man, you know, that just really, really have a genuine concern for what's going on in our community. And I think we need more of that. And I'm sure just being that example, you know, just keep doing it. You know, and I think that more people will become aware of how important it is to reach out because you name it. You say from kindergarten to the third grade. Now, that to me speaks volume. It's saying that when the enemy comes, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So if he can get in a child's mind in the kindergarten, because before they come to school, they're probably already hearing it out of the ones that's not really paying no attention, and then by the time they get to school, they're ahead. And it becomes, you know, stronger and stronger. And the next thing you know, their desires are that I want to continue to talk this talk, you know. I mean, it happened to me, so I can understand it. I'm watching the guy standing on the corner. I mean, I spoke about it in my book. You know, I have a book entitled Still High, and I talk about the first chapter. It's called On the Corner. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about things that I was watching the guys doing, standing on the corner, how they were styling and profiling and talking that language. And see, I took that language that they were talking to elementary school. I really did. And I could talk that language, you know. It had to do with me seeing and hearing them. And so you got to be mindful of what you say in front of kids. So that's a good point that you made. And we need to be aware of the power of words and what it can cause kids to get captured into. So we don't want to take that lightly. Glory to God. You know, so yeah, keep on doing what you're doing, and you know, I'm believing God that the ones that's listening, that they too would be able to recognize how important it is to reach our young kids at that age. I mean, just bringing that up. I mean, you did something to me when you said that you worked at the cafeteria and then you had to talk to kids and then you went talking about in kindergarten to the third grade. And they're talking that language already, and you was able to soothe them with something. And you even say you sang a song. Is that what you said? You said
yeah.
to them a gospel song. You rendered a gospel song to them, and then it come through later on and with a respect. That was outstanding right there within itself. So just keep on doing what you're doing, as I say, and be encouraged. We're winding down to about 5 minutes, and we'll take a couple of more minutes. I'm going to let you share some things with us, and then we're going to wind down and let this last song be rendered. And the song is entitled Change. I'm telling you, when that song was brought forth into my awareness, I always thank God for the power of change.
Amen.
Yeah, because the scripture does say, for all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So, sister, give us something, Sister Jerry, to hold on to, and then we will prepare for the last song to be rendered. And thank God for all of you that tuned in to the conversation. Again, we just want you to be encouraged. We'll be back on the next time, would be on Thursday. We expect for you to call in if you have questions and comments or just want to share some good news with us. Talk to us about 60 seconds, if you will, about what's going on and how did you feel about this segment, Sister Jerry?
Well, first of all, Pastor, I enjoyed this segment, and I'm glad you invited me to be in tune with y'all tonight. But what I want to leave with everybody is, you know, life is going to be hard. It's not designed to be perfect. And if you cannot accept change, especially a good change, you're going to lose out because there's a good man that's watching over you, you know, and he's not going to give you no more than what you can bear. Because
yes,
when the mother loses a child, she thinks that she's done lost it all. She has, but she hasn't, because God got something in store for you. Just hold on to your dreams and accept and expect and receive that change. Don't
bless
give up.
God. Amen. Thank you so much. We really appreciate everything that you shared with us, and you be encouraged. Brother, you can come on in and play us that tune, and we'll wind down and just bless God for this day and how wonderful it has been. Praise God. Until we meet again, this is Talk Straight, sitting in for Pastor Ruben Dockery. My name is Pastor Ricky Waller. Talk to you soon. Praise God.
All right. Praise God, Pastor.
Right. All right. Take care, man.
All right.
Listen.
You too. Bye.
All right.
And it's Ruben Dockery. I know him too.
Praise God.
Thank you.